This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. This video is sponsored by Voxy. Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast with me, Tommy Kelsall, Sam, and John Graham. Good evening, boys. How are we?
Good evening.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. In today's video, today's podcast, we will be talking about yesterday's very light defeat to Leicester at the King Power. Steffi Mavadidi has dropped us into the bottom three for the first time this season. Well, technically, we have been in the bottom three, but not after a game is finished and all results have been counted. So, we've got our backs to the walls for the first time this season. We'll come to you, Sam, first, since it's your debut. Put you on the spot early and make sure, just sort of give us like what you felt to the game yesterday.
I was cautiously optimistic before the game kicked off. It felt like the kind of game that is typically a Blues result there. It's sort of in the making, a team that we're not expected to be, a game that we're expected to lose heavily. There's no pressure. The sort of game where the players can relax a little bit. And it did feel like that. For first half was a bit shaky. It was always going to be. But they didn't trouble us too much. I know that sounds a bit daft because they had the ball in our final third or their final third most of the time, but without really causing Ruddy to have to do too much. And it seemed like it could have been an opportunity there, just ultimately towards the end, errors and their better quality just shows. And that's just where we're at the minute.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I agree as well, the fact you said that they didn't feel like they troubled us much, because I didn't get that vibe either. Like, we gave them a goal, really, and then they gave us a goal, really. So it felt like a very much a feeling out type of game, really. Neither team were very very threatening, really. They had, like you say, a couple of chances here and there, but like Mavadidi obviously got the goal and it was the danger man coming into the game, but I felt we kept him pretty quiet throughout most of the game, to be fair. I don't know what you think, John, but like, it didn't feel like a game was, you know, it wasn't really like ones we felt like, oh, we've got away with that one had we have gotten the points.
No, I mean, I suppose looking at it, trying to be objective as you can be in this situation, but look, let's be honest, man for man, they're probably a better team than us, like literally in every single position. So, and given where they are in the league, I know they've been on a bit of a shaky run, but relative to our form, it's not that shaky. Yeah. I think my thoughts going into the game were, I think I said on the last pod, I think when we had 8 games left, I drew a line under this one. I just didn't think, you know, anything would be a bonus, but my expectations were pretty low. I think it was just looking for a performance. And in fairness, I think we got that. I wouldn't, again, in Rabbit coming in, the time he's had, and we all know that he's quite pragmatic as a manager. I didn't really see anything I sort of didn't expect. I think we probably performed better than I thought, to be honest. But, you know, there are things that you can't, you know, it's like in football, you've got to be in control of your own destiny. And I think what killed us yesterday with the other results, you know, you can't really legislate for what happened in the other games. But ultimately, that's where we are. And, you know, bottom three, it isn't in our hands, really, I suppose. But having said that, again, I think our running is one of the easier ones over recent years. I think the last game of the season is the one that really does stand out. And I pray to God we haven't got to get anything in that game. But, you know, with the games running out, it's highly likely that we will. So, but from a performance point of view, yeah, not too disappointed. I guess we'll go into the detail in a minute. There's a few things that continue to baffle me. I'm watching a different game, I think, in many instances. But no, not one to be too down on. But yeah, I wasn't that surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Leicester were obviously, you know, favourites coming into the game. But were you surprised by Blues or were you surprised by Leicester out of the two? Which one were you more happy with? Well, not happy with, but if you get what I mean by that.
I was surprised by Leicester in terms of them not being as dangerous as I perhaps thought. They've got a very clear game plan. They've got a couple of big centre-halves that will just sweep things up and pick up any long balls for when they're, you know, the opposition are trying to get rid, which we're not very good at, by the way. But then out wide, pace, get it across, cut in. It was quite predictable, but I wasn't that impressed by it. Mm. It seemed like, and me and John talked about it already, but we sat quite narrow to try and encourage them to go outside. And I think they don't like that. I think they prefer to cut in to create the chances on the edge of the box and slip somebody through or take a shot from the outside of the box, you know, which they've done successfully. But yeah, they didn't pose us that many problems. I mean, they still posed us more problems than we did to them, but not enough to, like you said at the start, to justify the win. You know, a draw you could easily have come out of that and gone, great point. Not completely surprised based on the balance. So,
do you agree with that, John, or do you think that was opposite opinion?
No, I think, you know, let's get it right. I mean, yes, Leicester are a good team, but you know, when you play the system that we did, it's going to be bloody difficult to break us down. You know, so we were never going to go into that game taking them on at their own game because A, that's not Gary Rowett's style, and B, we haven't got the place to do it. So, I thought from a system point of view, it was pretty much what I expected. Leicester did carve out a couple of chances in all fairness in that first half. I thought Reddy was really good yesterday. And we're going to need him, that's for sure. So you could tell they were comfortable. It felt like they were just trying to find a way to really make those incisive passes. But I think with having a very, very strong sort of holding position with Bielik and I think JJ put a shift in and yeah, I think we just nullified them. But it's one thing nullifying a team, but then what are you going to do? I think that, yeah, maybe a little bit surprised with Leicester, but again, when you set up the way we did, you've got to have some unbelievable quality to break that down. And I think, you know, as far as the team is concerned, there's probably one player that I would say shouldn't even be in the squad, let alone starting. And I think ultimately that became our downfall, to be honest with you. But no, Gary can play that football. You know, that's what he's done for years and years and years. You know, very, very rarely did Rowett's side get absolutely smashed because he just doesn't set up teams to do that. So yeah, again, probably what I expected. I thought we were decent at what we did and they were probably a shade disappointing. But I think they've been a little bit out of form anyway.
Yeah, Daniel sort of points on that as well. He says, typical Blues performance, didn't expect anything to be heading into the, to head in for a point and then another final 10 minutes conceded with individual mistakes. I think that kind of sums it up really, you know. And I think really with the way that we did perform as well, it's a bit of a gutting thing as well, because I said this on the vlog yesterday that over the last few weeks that, you know, games against Borough and Watford, we deserved to go into the bottom three for the way we performed, but we didn't. But yesterday we played okay, you know, and battled hard. I think the effort was the thing I was most impressed with, because we weren't that threatening on the attack. I mean, the goal we got was just an absolute fluke, really. So really what I was just more disappointed that this was the game that was finally taking us into the relegation zone after a game. You know, it wasn't the one that felt like justified almost, you know, and I feel like the players must feel a little bit down on that, because the way they came over towards us at the end of the game and started applauding all the fans, it was great to see, and it showed that they really do appreciate the support. But also with the type of players that I think they are, they seem a bit downhearted at the moment, and that performance was as tough as it is to go again on, was it Wednesday or Tuesday night? So to go again then would feel hard for them. I just feel like they should know that they put in a proper performance on Saturday, you know, and that it wasn't wasn't 10 out of 10 because obviously we didn't come away with anything, but it's one that we should be more impressed by, because in the last few weeks we've been not even anywhere near as good as that. So I feel like the effort yesterday was definitely the thing I'm most impressed with. Just to read a couple more comments out. Let's see if everything. Edgy again coming in with the $9.99 giving us to our man. I appreciate it. Every single live that we do, man. I really appreciate it. Let's have a few quick other reads. We have 5 games, 15 points to play for. We have a chance of staying up. We have to keep the faith, says Susan. I like to think that optimistically. Gary says, fans keep saying this blue squad will fight to the end. How many games have we lost at the end? Blues fans need to wake up. This team is garbage, he says. It's the reason they're the bottom and not good enough. I mean, yeah, there's definite. It's obviously why we're down the bottom of the table. I don't know, but I just think they've let themselves down this season, to be quite honest, because there's some good players in there, but they've just not performed. I mean, like, I was incredibly happy to have gotten Sariki Dembele in at the start of the season. And at the start of the season, he was fantastic because I'd seen what he'd done for Peterborough. I'd seen that he'd done well for Bournemouth when they were pushing for promotion a couple of seasons ago. He was a tricky winger. Recent weeks, though, he's not even been okay. You know, he's been completely out of it and everything. So I think, yeah, people are entitled to their opinions because we've been absolutely bad. You know, it's no wonder we're in the bottom three, really, with the way we've been performing. But I don't know. How would you say that we're like awful, or would you say we're terrible, or where on the amazing to terrible scale do we go?
I think we need to change the song. We're Birmingham City. We don't fight to the end. I think it'd be a decent change for us. I mean, I'm with you, mate. When I saw Dembele, his first few games, I'm like, wow, you know, we've sort of. Shades of I really used to like Fabrini. I just loved him as a player, and we've had a couple of those white Dominguez, which is way before your time. You know, just good, you know, honest sort of wingers, old school. But there was a game, and I can't remember what manager it was. It might have been Eustace. So what's that, about 17 managers ago? And I remember we were. I think it was either we were drawing a game or we were 1-0 down or something. And he made 3 changes, and all 3 of them weren't ready to come on. Mm-hmm. And they were flat, and he needed the impetus, and he didn't get it. And Dembele just strikes me that, I don't think he feels that he should be on the bench, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, he's coming on with his arse in his hands. And we don't need that. We need... I know Sam probably isn't the biggest Anderson fan, but... I think the one thing he'll give you is just he'll give you a bit of commitment. And I know if we're into players that just give us commitment, then, you know, we are probably struggling. But you know, you want, I mean, Juki, you know, it's all about commitment. It's about work rate. It's about, you know, what you're going to get, heart and soul, for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, however long it is. You know that whatever happens, he's going to give it everything he's got. Some weeks will be better than others, but at least you know he's committed to the cause. And I think when you're in this sort of dogfight, you've got to have that. I mean, I'd even put Gary Gardner on in front of him. You know, it's just, I know he's limited, but even if it's 10 minutes, you're probably going to get a fairly solid 10 minutes if you chuck him probably in the middle of the park or wherever you put him. So I think we've got some dodgy characters in the squad. I genuinely do. And whether that be people that... just haven't got the temperament for it and don't fancy it and want to be somewhere else, or players that just simply aren't good enough. And they keep getting picked, and I'm just like, I'm just going to say it. So for me, case in point, this is it. When you pick Awu to play in any football team, he will make a mistake at least one. And at this level, it only takes one, and it only took one. That's it. End of. And Mark Roberts, exactly the same. There were 2 games when he was, you know, back in the fold again for the umpteenth time. He sacked so many managers. It's unbelievable. And just individual basic mistakes. He gets shoved off the ball too easy. And, you know, we've got to have centre-halves that are just die for it. And that's why having Awu in that team is just an absolute disaster. He's terrible on the ball. and he might look a bit flash for 10 or 15 minutes. I don't want that. I just want, I tell you what I want, Long, who we haven't sold. Long, that, yeah. That's what we need. If Kevin Long was playing centre-half, I'm telling you now, just we can't clear our lines. And so it's so frustrating that I do think we've got the best, I think we've got a squad to stay up, but you play players that will continually make mistakes. We're done. End of story. And you've got the best defender that we've got in the club on the bench in drama. If I'm assuming he was fit. But and I'm like, am I watching a different game? And so, you know, you keep picking players like that, you deserve what you get, in my opinion.
I agree. I think we are in that point now where we are getting what we deserve, because it's not just been this season, but it's been seasons on end. You know, we've been circling the plug hole for far too long, you know, and it's like it was a prime example for that is Villa. You know, when they finally got relegated, you can see the seasons building up to it. And they were just, you know, they were just saying up about the skin in their teeth. And this season could be that, you know, and it might just be a bit of a surprise one considering the team we have and the difference we had in the seasons before, and you think, well, we probably are the two, you know, you bet for that team to go down. But football's like that sometimes, and you can see this run of games we've got probably the easier run of form, like you said earlier, John, but you never know, like teams can pull things out of the hat, you know. And like I swear Leicester lost to Stoke or some team like that a couple of weeks ago, like it was like a big shock result, you know. But like, if we're not going to pull those big results out of the bag, then it's going to happen, you know. And that's what we need to know now, is the fact that we need to win a lot of those games to stay up, because we've got our backs to the wall, even how close it is. You know, if Wednesday and Huddersfield keep on winning, and if Plymouth can pull themselves away from it, you know, we've still got to just keep on doing what we're doing. And you just don't know with this team. It's far too inconsistent. And that's why I'm hoping from yesterday, it wasn't just a fluke again, that we played well against Leicester and then we'll go and lose to Cardiff in the midweek. So, yeah.
I mean, it's no coincidence that we can talk about Eustace, whether it was him, whether it was the players, whether it was just a bit of consistency that we haven't had for a while, you know, the same manager being there in the summer and starting the season and all of that sort of stuff. The start of the season, defensively, I think, wasn't Kevin Long one of the highest rated defenders in the Championship for the first
he won the most aerial
dozen game or something like that. He was constantly topping charts for being this good, solid defender, somebody that you'd win headers, put his body on the line. Okay, yeah, a bit slow. And when Rooney comes in and wants to play a certain type of football, Kevin Long isn't the man to do that, because he's got his restrictions, and like they all have. But I just think it's not a personal attack at Awu in any sense of the imagination, but somebody that does modelling pictures and fancies themselves and all of this sort of stuff, that to me, that's not a centre-half. That's not somebody that I want trying to block a shot at the end of the game. That's not somebody that I want in the box when 22 players are in there. You know, I want somebody that's, you know, the Harley Deans, the Michael Morrisons, the players like that, Darren Purses, players that just always wanted to just get the ball, take every man out of the way. Just get the ball, get it out. It doesn't matter where it goes, just get it out. And I've said it for the last few weeks, not just Awu, that there's a few of them guilty of it. How a professional footballer can't kick a football out of his own box, I don't understand. Just an inability to clear the box. Like, it's happened two or three times recently. It happened for this first goal against QPR. Couldn't clear it out of the box. Their centre-half gets two, three attacks at it, finds the bottom corner after a deflection off Awu. Same again yesterday. Just can't clear the ball. Someone's available. In it goes. It's just, it's all the time. It's constant. I just want a defender, Kevin Long, as a prime example, that can just get rid of it. There's nothing wrong with that every now and again. And I echo what John was saying. I was looking at it again, and we've always carried one centre back. We've had to carry them, and it means whether you play a four, whether you play a five, whether you play a three, at least two of those other players has to do a job and a half. They can't just do their own job. So Laird gets pulled out of position for their second goal yesterday because he probably doesn't trust that Awu's got his man. So he's getting himself in between the posts, just thinking, if I get there, you know, it might not go in. And then Mavadivi's got all the time in the world to just pop it in the corner. So
I know what you mean.
We carry a centre back every season, whether it's Roberts, whether it's Awu, we always seem to do it. And I just want two centre halves that can just get rid of the ball. That's all I'm after.
Who would you say is the last pairing that you believe that both did their jobs as solidly as like individuals?
Michael Morrison and Harley Dean.
Harley Dean didn't turn into a bad defender overnight.
He would block shots, he would put his body on the line. He didn't just turn into a bad defender overnight. He turned into a bad defender when he had Mark Roberts next to him. And look how many other centre halves have come into the club and played alongside Mark Roberts and looked bad. Do you know what I mean?
How many club captains have Dan Tools and got a manager sacked?
No, I would never give him the captain's armband. That's not what I'm saying. As a
well, he had it. He Dan Tools and got a manager sacked.
Yeah, and I don't agree with that. I'm talking about is characteristics of a defender, though, an actual type of defender, somebody that will put their body on the line, win headers, and actually fight for something and try and get the ball out. But I'm not. It's nothing to do with his captaincy, because I completely disagree, and shrugging the shoulders as funny as it was after Karanka got sacked. That's not a captain. Again, captains is probably something we don't have at the moment as well. But yeah, it's a type of defender that I'm after. Just somebody that will... I think what I'm looking for is if a defender goes up against an attacker, I want to look at them and think they probably can win that battle. I don't look at our centre-halves at the minute and think either of them can win a battle.
Because Paul says in the comments here that Dan and Johnson, Scott Dan and Roger Johnson, was the last two good pairing that we have. And I was about to say that I think what we're missing is two centre-backs who are very similar. Because I think defenders, I think they work off each other when they know each other's strengths. And if they can be very similar in that way, like I think Dan and Johnson were, I think they can balance off that rather than having Sanderson, who's got a bit of pace to him, and then you've got someone like, I don't know, let's say, let's bring Kevin Long back into the arguments, as maybe that's why he was moved on a little bit sooner. Then, you know, I don't like that. I like having two centre-backs who are very similar in what they can do, because you, as an attacker, when you've got both of them coming up against you, you've not got one who you know you can skip past in, like, maybe Sanderson, and he might be able to catch up with you. But then you've got a rock-hard, solid defender in someone like Kevin Long. That I quite like having a wall in that sort of area, and I feel like we had that a little bit with Roberts. We were moving that forward a tiny bit and trying to get that sort of connection back with it. But then, yeah, that's why I think Dan and Johnson's probably the right one. I mean, there was Morrison and Robinson, perhaps were good, but also when you can comparing the quality of Scott Dan and Roger Johnson, I mean, they won a League Cup with us and got us ninth in the Premier League. So we need to really be back at stages like that to be comparing them.
I mean, Shotton was a good centre-half. Us not signing Trusty was a massive mistake. We should have absolutely done everything. You know, you have a Trusty and a Sanderson in that back line. It's totally different.
The
challenge you've got, if you're playing two snotters at centre half, which I'm all for, to be honest, you've got to have somebody in front of them that's going to be able to take a 5-yard pass off them and make something happen. The problem you've got, if you've got two limited centre halves with ball at feet, and then you've got a wall in front of them, so a Sunjic and a whoever, you're not going anywhere. And I think that's the challenge you've got. And this was the whole, I think it's a bit late in the day, and you know, who knows what would have happened if Mowbray hadn't got ill, but I think the Pike Dizel combo, that's what you need. If you're gonna have a fairly limited centre half pairing, which I think Mowbray must have looked at it and gone, yeah, they're not great. So I need at least two players in front of him that can dictate play a bit. I mean, for me, I'm not being an after-timer, and I'm far from right all the time. But when we were on the pod last time, I did say, do not start mentioning names like Awu and Roberts at the back, because if you do, it's going to end in tears. Buchanan in centre-half was decent. Played not great against Southampton, but other than that, he was great. And Bielik was great centre half. Bielik is, he gives you calmness. He gives you a bit of authority. He does put his toe in, probably a little bit too much at times, but I think he'd calm Sanderson down. And then you've just got to find, I mean, how many centre midfielders we got?
A lot, yeah. It might be wise to move Bielik back into defence.
100%. I think if we do that.
We could go back into your Pake and Dizel, couldn't we?
Yeah, but I don't think whether he fancies Dizel or not, and truth be told, I don't know whether Dizel's done enough. I like him, but has he been outstanding? Probably. I think Pike, I thought he was tremendous in the first half.
Excellent,
absolutely tremendous. But he went missing. And again, you can't have that. if you get a centre mid that's like, he's definitely got a foothold in the game, you think, okay, a bit more of that second half.
Yeah.
25 minutes, he was just completely anonymous.
Because we are just that team, aren't we, though? Because we're great when everything's going for us, you know, and we're really looking into the game, you know. Like when we're playing against Preston, you know, we were doing well, we were holding on, we were doing exactly what we needed to do, as we have been in earlier, in other games this season, you know. I remember Bristol City away, absolutely spotless, you know, fantastic performance. And then when things aren't quite going for us or things are starting to drop off a little bit, then the results follow that way. We're very much a trending team, really. So, like, if we lose one game, we end up losing, like, four. But then if we win one game, we then pick up a little bit and then might get a good draw here and there. But, like, we're such a confidence team that it's kind of just, it battles with us sometimes, because right now we are in desperate need of points. And players like Pay can have a fantastic first half and then just completely go missing, you know, because it's the game's changed and everything. So they just strike me as that sort of team, really.
It's fine having players like Paik and Bakuna, because they're of a similar mould, in my opinion. They're very good with the ball. They've got a bit about them. If they wanted to put their foot in, they could probably get the ball if they wanted to. The problem, like we've just said there, though, is if you're in a game like we were yesterday, when the other team's going to have 70-75% of the ball, that they end up drifting out. They, like Bakuna, and I think at the moment the only place you really can play Bakuna is out on that left hand side, because I think if you throw him in the middle, he's one step over away from conceding you a goal. And I just think it's too risky at this time of the season to play him in a position like that. At least out wide, he can sometimes, you know, when they pull off, they're great. When they don't, we're always on the back foot and he doesn't track back. So I think it's good having those players, but it's good having those players if you are the team that has the ball. It's not so good if you're the team chasing it. And I think that's why people like Pate go missing, because he wants the ball, but we haven't got it. Yeah. So he's got to work hard to get it back. And then when he does get it back, he's probably got two options to get it further forward, Stansfield being one of them, and probably Bakuna being the other one, because he hasn't tracked all the way back. And then that's it. I really like Miyoshi, but again, similar situation. He's great if you've got the ball. He's great if you're looking for somebody to split the lines and thread one through to an onrushing Jay Stansfield, as he's done many times. But if you need somebody to track back and try and act as like a cover for your right back or your left back, whichever side he's on, he just doesn't have that in his bag. He's not physical enough. I mean,
yeah,
he has to wear a gum shield. And I don't mind that. I understand it, but again, that doesn't give... If I'm a right back and I'm looking for support, I don't look at Miyoshi and think, he's got my back, we're going to be all right here. I'm thinking, okay, right, this is down to me now.
So far, you've had centre-halves that anything to do with fashion, they're no good. And anybody wearing a gum shield, they're out.
You're going to wear the Petr Cech helmet next.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But this is the thing, though. It's not all about that. And if it was going well, these things, you wouldn't notice them. You wouldn't be bothered about people doing things. It's like what the stick that Ollie Burke gets. I mean, I'm on that board, you know, I'm there with them. But there's times and places to do this sort of stuff, isn't there? And you just think, just tone it down just for a bit. Let us get the points that we need and then start doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think that with it being a relegation battle, then opinions and hot takes on things will be quite sudden, because things can change in a heartbeat. You know, there was, you know, we started the game in a fairly decent position. Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield win and we lose and we're in the bottom three, then it's the end of the world, you know. And I get why people get frustrated with that. I get why people get frustrated with just the idea of being in that situation, but it's very real, you know. It's so to and fro, you know. And the closer to the last game of the season, that is what it's going to be like. You know, people are going to have the radio on or, you know, flicking through the scores all the time, you know. And God forbid we do get to that game and we still need to stay up, because I don't fancy us against Norwich at all. They look in decent form and they obviously are still going to be pushing for the playoffs, you know. So it's one of those, really. And I've got the games up here on my phone just to have a check of what we've got. So we've got, in the last five games, we've got three home games, which you would really hope we can get a good solid, but at least not lose those games. And then the two away games, you know, we've got Rotherham, who are already down, and then Huddersfield, who are battling with us, you know. So it's one of those that we really just, you can't lose those last five games in reality. If we can hold on for a point in at least every single one, come away with a point at least every single one of them, then we'll be fine, you know. But I don't know. And that's why
I think if we lose to Rotherham, we deserve to go down.
Oh,
if we forget everything else. Because, you know, that is just, you know, they're Look, Leicester was always going to be difficult. They were always going to have to play a certain way. But the way we played against Preston, if we can replicate that, we will be fine. I have absolutely no doubt about it. The question is, what damage has that, again, last-minute winner done to the confidence? Because, you know, human nature, it always will. You know, we could play brilliantly for 85 minutes against Cardiff, be 1-0 up or be drawing one apiece or whatever it is. And then everybody in the stadium is going to be thinking, this ain't over yet. And you know, and that will transfer onto the pitch. And as we said, some of those players, they're low on confidence, low on talent, some of them. And I think that's going to be the challenge. As far as that, the way we started against Preston, if we do that on Wednesday night, we'll be okay. We've got no doubt about that. It's just that, you know, what impacted the... And it's not just Leicester, is it? It's the Millwall. There's so many. I mean, it'd be interesting to see where we'd be in the league or how many more points we'd have if he just said if the game finished at 85 minutes. I know it doesn't, but if it did, yeah, we'd all be, you know, booking us some holidays, saying happy days, we're back, you know, same again next season. But if we can survive this, then new ownership and the way they are, I think it will be a bit of a watershed moment for the club. If we go down, that's a different kettle of fish altogether. But hey, look, as I said, I think if we can go back to the Preston game, that Preston performance, and even to be honest, QPR, we weren't that bad then. I guess in the three games that he's been back, I think we played all right.
I think Gary here in the chat says something interesting. He says, what do we think?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Reason we have lost so many late points, 16 points lost in the last 10 minutes of the games, he says. Is it just a lack of concentration or something else?
I personally, I've made a note of this earlier to bring it up, but when you're having to rely on bringing Scott Hogan onto the pitch, when you're having to bring on Dembele, who is in rotten form and doesn't look like a player who's got any interest in any way, shape or form, players like Anderson, who have been bit part players, had a good start to the season, but it's never really managed to get any consistency. Sunjic, if you give Sunjic one job to shield the back four or the back two, great. If you ask him to do anything else, he's limited. He can't do it. Yeah. So when you're having to bring players like that on, you're bound to be worse off than you were for the first 60, 65 minutes. Yeah. That, to me, is the problem. I think that's where we go short. We just don't have like-for-like quality. And I know there's probably not that many teams in the division that do, but if you think of the start of the season, you could have got rid of six players without a shadow of a doubt. You could have got rid of Hogan. You could have got rid of Duke. You could have got rid of Mark Roberts, Gardner, Sunjic. You could have got rid of all these players and replaced them and been happy. But at the moment, they're the players that we're having to rely on to come on and either hold the result or change the result. It's not going to happen. They're not good enough. And they've been good. They've been great. Some of them have. Duke's, you know, a cult hero for the things that he's done. He's single-handedly kept us up under Boya. We have to move on. You know, we've brought some good players in the summer and they haven't turned into bad players overnight. But if you're having to replace them with players that are probably League One standard, what do you expect? You know, I think we're at a point where if we could, you'd want to be keeping players on for 90 minutes. The problem that comes with that is a lot of our players have got bad injury records. So the minute you start doing that, you're going to be losing them for games rather than minutes.
No, you're right. Yeah, I agree as well. Like for like quality, it's just not there. You know, you can't compare Jay Stansfield to Scott Hogan, you know, because the differences between the two is massive, you know, and it's the same for like Sonjic and Bielik. You know, they probably have a very similar work ethic, but the quality like Bielik brings is so much different to Sonjic, despite how much he works, you know. But I agree. I think it's a cause of concern, and it probably is a big reason, really, for why we are conceding so many like goals. Because you look at the ending team that we finished with yesterday. We had Anderson, Dembele that were brought on, Hogan as well. I thought they were decent subs. You know, I think they were pretty decent, to be fair, at the time. But once you go a goal down, then you think, could we have perhaps brought someone else? It's always the beauty of hindsight and everything, but. Yeah, I get what you mean completely. And with injuries as well, I mean, injuries have been a huge issue for us this season. You know, like we've had so many different players out at different points in the season that have just, it's made us play bowyer ball, basically. We're putting right wingers at centre back and everything, you know, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's a tricky one. Yeah, I think we don't, I don't really know how you would approach that as well, because
It's easy. You look at Hogan and you say, busted flush. Doesn't want to know, hasn't wanted to know for ages. I'm going to sound like a brother, do the broken record segment. Junior Dixon, what is he going to do? Mm-hmm, What's he going to do? What in what world is he not going to give you energy for 20 minutes?
I agree with that, yeah.
Donovan, in what world is he not going to give you? What are they going to do? They're either wide or up top. So it's not like they're going to be, you know, then if it breaks down or it's a bad first touch, you're not in on goal. You know, they're not, it's not like we're saying, I'll bring in a 70 year old centre midfielder that could really cause these issues, or a 70 year old centre half in real danger areas. You're looking for people that can change games with impetus, with energy, with a bit of youth, with a bit of, you know, nothing to lose, no fear. Mm. Donovan was that one bright spark from the Rooney era. And you know, how many goals has Dixon got to score? So for me, it's really easy because, again, how can we be worse off? We can't be worse off because the subs are having no impact at all, So,
yeah,
I don't get it.
You mentioned it on the podcast last time you came on. I was a bit hesitant to think whether it would work. I agree with it now because what have they got to lose? And they can only improve on that, really, because if they keep us up with the substitutes that, you know, Dixon comes on for the last 20 minutes, or, you know, he brings in someone like a Donovan or something like that, comes on, gives it everything, and if we hold on or even go on to win the games that we need to do to stay up, then they become like young heroes almost all of a sudden. Whereas, like, bringing on players like Hogan, you know, for as hard as they are, I'm imagining their work, you know, because I definitely don't think for a second that none of them are, you know, packing it in or anything. I'm pretty sure they all are trying. But you've got to look like you've really given it a go and putting in tackles and effort that are really effective for the final results of the game, you know. So I kind of get what you mean. I think it's a wise, I think it's a smart move. I don't think it's particularly wise in case they, you know, suddenly get knocked off from the level. But there again, they're not of the level, then that's where the reality check almost.
And the other thing is, Tom, you know, when Hogan comes on, what's the reaction from the fans?
Yeah.
He can't make him feel great about himself because he's thinking, here we go again, one bad touch. And they're either giving him pelts. You know, Anderson's probably the same. Burke's been the same. Gardner has probably just got enough credit in the bank, but it's probably running out pretty quick. So you look at all our subs, most people that have watched Blues over the last this season or seasons before will look at that and go, that's just, you know, let's hope nobody gets injured. You know, there's nothing exciting on there. And, you know, this isn't about, you know, praying that our future relies on our youth team, because that's just a typical supporters thing to say, you know, throw in the young kids and all this nonsense. But the reality is, if you've got players on the bench that are out of contract, don't want to know, are massively out of form, you cannot lose. You can't. And I really hope that he just, it's a bit un-Rowett-like, but I don't know. It's just, there is an age for me, certainly in the Championship, there's so many young, talented players. And we've always been renowned for bringing through really good players. And you won't, until you try, you won't know. And, you know, I mean, again, if Junior Dixon can't score against Rotherham, he probably needs to wrap it up and all. Yeah. So, I just don't see it as a risk at all.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing about the fans as well, because you think of how many of the players have, when they do their interviews, and I know they probably feel like they have to say this, but you can tell with this group of players, they really need the fans. Mm. And they say it all the time, don't they? And you can see, like, the Sunderland game, you know, the fans really lifted them and they got a performance out. And there's been other games, I can't think off the top of my head, but they've mentioned it almost every interview that, you know, the fans have got us over the line. You know, we need the fans, we need the fans, we need the fans. Exactly what John just said. You bring on all those subs, automatically the atmosphere in the entire stadium sinks. Mm. So again, that's another reason why you're going to concede goals towards the end of the game, because all of a sudden, all the fans that were optimistic and had been enjoying what we've been doing up to this point are now going to go,
very cautious about things. Yeah.
But it's where we're at. You know, we've brought in some good players, like I said, in the summer. Start of the season, I was really, really optimistic because of the players that we brought in.
We all were, to be fair.
You know, long, decent sort of length contracts for players. You know, we're heading in the right direction. But the consistency that I've noticed is that when you pick a team that has the majority of players that are going to be here next season, you see a much better quality. The minute you start having to bring in the loan players, the out-of-contract players, you can tell the dip in performance. I think I looked at it on the Preston game. I think we started the team with 7 or 8 players who are still under contract next season. That's volumes, because there's been games where you've been packed with loans, contracts expiring. I know John Ruddy did that one interview, didn't he, where he said players don't want a relegation on their CV. Does that really make a difference? If somebody wants to sign Scott Hogan, if Blues go down, are they going to go, oh, well, that's it, we're not signing him now? Or if somebody wants John Ruddy, oh, he got relegated, we're not signing. I don't think that really is a thing. I think if you're 21, 22, and you've seen 2-3 teams get relegated, fair enough. I think if you're in your 30s and the team that you've been with has gone down, they're not going to look at that player and think, oh, it's his fault. They're going to just look at the club and be like, they're at the bottom of that league for
a
decade. It was bound to happen.
Mm. So I think most people do see that as well.
Yeah, I think there's just too many of them. It's easy to say, but there's too many of them that just aren't. It doesn't matter to them what happens to us, whether we stay up or go down. It makes no difference to them.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah,
I'd absolutely agree with that. But the one thing that I was surprised at yesterday, I'm going to get pelters for this. Laird, he only ever seems to jog. He doesn't. And it's probably a bit to your gum shield stroke fashion sense comment. The guy's always laughing. The guy is Laird. He's always smiling, always laughing. Love it. Great to be really positive.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in it, it's not. This isn't a joke. You know, this is about. We've really got to dog this out. And just, I know it's easy to say he's probably covering centre halves. You got to do your job. And there were it's oceans of space with a couple of minutes to go. You're part of the pitch. Your responsibility. And, you know, he'd probably say, well, I was covering for X. I'd be saying, well, let him do that job. And if, you know, somebody's unmarked at the penalty spot, free header, that's a centre half. But if you've got a guy just marauding in from wide and you're the fullback, do your job. And he didn't do his job. And for me, Drama is a better defender. I'm not saying he's a better player. Drama is a better defender.
I agree.
And there were times yesterday when Laird, again in advanced position, his final ball is shocking. It's shocking. I'm not digging him out. I think he's got a ton of potential. I genuinely do. But where we are right now, if you're saying to me, Laird or Drama, man for man, with 5 games to go, I'm going Drama because we've got to be solid.
I agree.
You need players in front of the back four that you crack on and do what you want to do. You be creative. This is not the time. And it's certainly a flat back four. We've got fullback bombing on. Buchanan's different class. If you've got a Drama in Buchanan at fullback and a Bielik and Sanderson at centre halves, I think that is pretty solid. I genuinely do. And then it's a matter of, you know, you just got to find 6 other outfield players that are going to make sense. And I think you've got to find a place for JJ. I still don't know what his best position is, but I'd always want him on the pitch. Stansfield's got to play. Bakuna, I think he's done enough to play. The Preston game alone, you know, if we can get 2 of those performances at the next 5 games, we're in good shape. Pike I like. And then after that, I think it's, what, 3 from 7? And I don't think it matters who comes in, because as we've said, it's just all much of a muchness.
I think Drama, though, has been the best right back we've had all season, really, as well, because the consistency, because Laird's been injured as well. So when he came in, we were worried that he might not be up to the standard, but he's improved on that, really. He's been, I agree, I think that is the better choice going towards the end of the season, really.
And plus, how many times have you, and I've probably said it, I've been guilty of it, you know, Laird, you know, he had a lot of bad injuries, but he's one of the best fullbacks in the league. Bottom three at the moment, kid. You know?
Yeah.
Best fullback in the league.
I was just thinking about Laird then, and I was thinking, I wonder if, because you never know for certain how much these injuries impact the mentality of players. I used to say this about Chong. Chong was amazing for the first 2 or 3 months we had him. He got that really nasty injury, and he was never the same. And even for his first 6 months at Luton, he wasn't the same. I know he's doing okay now because he's got natural ability. But that injury, and I think he had something else happen in his personal life, that it must have made such a big difference. And I do think with a lot of these players, Laird being a prime example, that he, in his head, when he makes that sprint, I bet he's thinking, I've got to be careful here. This could be me done for the rest of the season. I just wouldn't be surprised if that's the sort of thing that pops into some of these players' heads now.
I know what you mean, yeah.
He just never seems to me like he's in top gear. It might be his running style, but he just doesn't look like he's flat out at any point.
I definitely, because he looked like that earlier in the season, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's a cracking player in there. There's no doubt, and a massive asset for the club. And it wouldn't surprise me if we did go down, I'd be on his way. I mean, we'll probably get a few million for him. You know, I think there's a couple in there that would go for decent money if they wanted to move on.
Daniel says this earlier in the chat. He says, typical Blues will sell Dixon and go on to be another Premier League player. And that is just so Blues. We can mention, like, for hours, the amount of players we've had that we've pretty much just brought from scratch, really, and turned them into a fantastic player. I mean, obviously, Jude is the pick of the bunch. But, you know, you think of Redmond and Much and, you know, all those other type of players, you know, that have just gone on to be fantastic players. I mean, like, we've even helped players like Joe Hart make it to the top of the game as well. You know, Jack Butland and Ben Foster has had a great season with us as well. So it's typical Blues to never really hold on to your great players. And if we go down, then we'll lose all of them, really. But I don't know, if we have a pretty poor summer in terms of keeping older players, then it's just going to be another one of those typical moments.
If we stay up, we'll keep the players we want to keep. I'd include JJ in that. I just don't think they'll want to sell anybody because they don't need to.
I think if you go down, different. It'd be absolutely ridiculous to sell players if we do stay up because, like you say, we should be able to keep hold of the players, you know. But it'd be like, I think with James as well, because of the intention that other teams have had to have a look at him, I don't know, but I just don't want that to happen. I feel like we've got to hold out until like an absolutely massive deal comes in for players now. We've got to act like that type of team because before we've just been so skint that we've just got to sell on any player for any sort of money, really. That's why we got rid of Jude when he was so young, you know. I mean, obviously he was interested by some top teams, but still it's like, it's what we've always been about. We need to change that about us if we're going to stay up. Even if we go down, if I've got to be honest, you know, we might need...
I think the difference is if you go down, it's the players and the agent, you know. There's no way that, you know, a JJ should be playing in League One. There's commitment and there's insanity. So I don't see it. But, you know... But I think there'll be players that, you know, might be a bit of a surprise that we move, as I said, if we stay up, because I think we then hold all the cards, because all those out-of-contract players will be gone. FFP is not really going to be a thing because we'll have got rid of a lot of money off the wage bill. Mm-hmm. Commercially, they're doing some quite creative stuff, which I'm here for because everybody else does it. So I think we've got quite a lot of headroom. So it may be that if we want to shift a player on, it's because we're going to probably spend more or get a better player in. I just think the dynamic completely changes with this new ownership. But as I said, you know, it's a different argument if we go down, because who would want to stay? Laird, I think, would go because of his reputation. Standards will stay. I think Buchanan would stay. I don't know. It's a tough one. We're going to have to start thinking about it, because it's not like it's 15 games to go.
It's caught up with us quick.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, it just we got away with it a bit recently where we could have been in the bottom three. And then, as you said, Tommy, it's unfortunately quite ironic that we've actually played okay, lost by the odd goal against the team at the top, and the utter dross below us have turned into
Man City. Fucking hell, honestly. How have they suddenly pulled things around? It's been ridiculous. They were like, with Rotherham, like destined to be relegated, and now they're pulling their shit together.
The one team I'm absolutely convinced are going to go down is Plymouth.
Do you think so? Yeah.
Yeah. Because they stank it out against Rotherham for a 1-0. I think they're gone. I genuinely do. And then after that, I don't know. And when you said, I don't think 5 points will be enough from now to the end of the season. I think we're going to need... If we can beat Huddersfield, that's massive, because it's 3 points on to us. And obviously, that sort of keeps them right in it. And if we beat Rotherham, then those two wins and one other win, you've got to think that's going to be close. If you win 3 out of 5, it's got to be close.
Mm.
My issue and worry is that prior to Middlesbrough, I remember looking at the rest of our fixtures and thinking, there's some good opportunities to get 3 points there. But I'm looking at these 5 games now and I'm thinking, on paper, Cardiff at home, they've still mathematically got the chance of getting into the playoffs. But I think we all know realistically, I think they're 11 points off it with 15 to play for. So they're probably not going to get there, but they still can. We played Middlesbrough, middle of the table, and that was the worst performance I've ever seen us have, or certainly for a long time. Then we had Millwall away, again, similar to like maybe your Huddersfield away that we've got coming up. I looked at that and thought, this is a real opportunity to get an invaluable away win. We didn't turn up and we lost with a 1-0, last minute goal.
Yeah.
QPR, exactly the same. Bad form, below us in the table at the time, or around us in the table at the time. Opportunity to get an away win. Lost it. I look at these games and I'm thinking, on paper, we probably could win them, but I'm comparing it to the ones that we've had recently and we haven't turned up or we haven't got the results. So
I think in fairness, the QPR, I know it's still 2-1 and it'll always be 2-1 for the record books. That bloke ain't scoring that goal for the rest of his career. And we did okay. The other performances were under a guy that was completely out of his depth in Venus. So I would be hugely disappointed if any game from now until the end of the season, win, lose or draw, we're not walking away from that thinking we were banging up for it.
Yeah.
I don't see that with Rabbit, honestly, I don't. But like I said, it's okay being bang up for it. It's okay putting it in and this, that and the other. But if you keep picking players that are going to just compromise everything and you pick them, it's on you, whether you're Gary Rowe or anyone else. Mm-hmm. It's got to come from a bit of self-preservation and just say, and Gary's got nothing to lose. If he keeps us up and Mowbray doesn't come back, there'll be a riot if Rowe doesn't get the job. I think he's absolutely nailed on to get the job if he keeps us up and Tony's not well enough to come back. And if he takes us down, so he's got no he's got no bond with the players. So if he wants to never play Hogan again, never play any of those players again, it doesn't matter to him because they won't be there next season anyway. And I think with Awu, he just says, just send it back to Austria. Yeah, cheers, mate. Thanks a lot. That was exciting. And then I don't know what is he just covering up a tattoo with that one sleeve thing that he's got? I don't get it. what is that? And as far as running style, I reckon I've got him over 20 yards. It's just...
He's saving himself for an arm modelling career. That's what he's doing.
Come back to this though, yeah.
It's honestly... When he came on for his debut, I said to my lad, I'm like, who's the Conor McGregor? Who's this guy? Right? Not just because... And he couldn't run. I think he had one decent game, and I thought, okay, I'm wrong. But absolutely not. I was bang on. It's just awful, man.
I think if you can rely on our attacking players to score 2 or 3 goals, you can risk playing him because he's naturally a centre-half. But because we can't do that, it's not
John's
possible.
John's not going to agree with me on this one, man.
It's a recipe for disaster. I agree with you. I don't want to see him in the team. But what I'm saying is, if you've got players who can score goals to cover for him, there's an argument to be had, but we don't.
If we had Jude, Che, for sale Duguri in that side. I still wouldn't want Abram in it.
And us and Joe Hart both in goal.
He would definitely be the scapegoat in that team, that's for certain. Oh, the Blues love a scapegoat.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, they'll be queuing up, I think, if we go down, that's for sure.
Oh, gosh, yeah. We will talk about the Cardiff game, a couple of predictions to wrap up. But before that, here's a quick word from our sponsors.
This video is sponsored by Voxy, the pay-as-you-go mobile network that gives you unlimited social media for as little as £10 a month. Stop eating your data away while on the move by signing up to Voxy today and receive unlimited social media usage, video and music. All Voxy plans are 5G ready, and if you sign up using our link in the description below, you'll receive a free Amazon, PayPal or Just Eat voucher of up to £20. Thank you to Voxy for sponsoring us yet again, and now back to the video.
So, guys, give us your predictions for Cardiff. Sam, take us away.
how many times have we said this? It's a must win. I'm just a little bit worried that the pressure is going to get to them because of the fact it's another must win. I think it's going to be... I want to say we're going to win, but I genuinely think it's going to be a 1-1. And it's going to be another nasty last... 5-10 minute equaliser. We're going to probably play quite well, but we're just not going to have enough to hold on to it. So I think 1-1, unfortunately.
John, do you agree?
No, I think we'll win. I think we'll win 3-1. Okay. I just think that they've got enough. They've got enough about them. The Preston game for me. Bearing in mind, Preston, you know, they're on an unbelievable run. They're one of the form sides in the league since Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I didn't say made them look ordinary, but we were good value for the win. Cardiff got nothing to play for. You know, it takes some sort of mathematical miracle for them to get a top six. And I'll know it, you know. Are they going to be up for it? Don't know. I think we need to be more up for it. And I think this will be the game. This will be the game that I think we can all start to think about, okay, Rotherham, Huddersfield, get those two done and we're okay. So I think that, and you see that Preston game, you know, that I know it sounds stupid, but, you know, you've got the pressure of UB40 coming on to play to nobody.
The risk of being so pungent, honestly. Keep round forever true when there's nobody in the stadium after a 3-0 defeat.
Do we need to make a campaign for them to play live at the end of every home game till now, between now and the end of the season?
I just, and again, you know, the sort of the way Preston were playing, and we desperately needed the win and we got it. So I think that we've proven we can do it under pressure. I know we're in bottom three, so it's a little bit different, but what were we, fourth from bottom? We were playing Preston on a point out, so it's not that much difference. Mm. So I think they've proven they can play under that pressure, and we can get out the gate early, high press, like we did against them. I fancy us. I think Cardiff haven't really got anything to play for. We've got everything to play for, and hopefully they will have seen that they didn't get embarrassed by Leicester. Mm. They lost the game, but I think you can pick it apart a little bit and say, you know, we're probably a bit unlucky, but I just fancy us. I think we'll do a job on them.
I agree. Yeah. I think I kind of take a bit from both of your things. I think we will win, but I agree, Sam, I think we might concede late on. So it might either swing towards a 2-1 of where it's going to be a nervy ending to see if we can hold on to the win, or it could be a 1-1, so where I think we will score because I think we're in the mood for getting the fans back up on the feet and everything. But I can never see us not conceding, you know, because it's always one of those, you know, like I'd love to see how many games this season where we've kept a clean sheet. It surely most of them must have come towards the start of the season when we were flying, because I can't remember the last time where we kept a good run, really, because obviously we kept the clean sheet against Preston. I didn't expect that. I was very disappointed not very impressed with Preston's performance at all. No, it didn't trouble us at all. But in terms of other games this season, it must be a long time ago, really, because we're just weak at the back, and I think we'll definitely get a goal because we're in desperate need for it. But I'm not too sure whether it's a win or whether it's a draw. I don't think we'll lose because like you say, Jonathan, Cardiff have not very got much to play for, and we're in the direct battle of the relegation zone now. So I feel like we'll definitely be up for it, and I definitely think we will get a goal. But I definitely think we won't lose. But yeah, it's one of those. I'm not too sure whether we can get all 3 points or whether we'll throw it away in the last minute, because I think there's definitely going to be another goal conceded from us.
Yeah, I think if we keep a clean sheet in Avery plays, I will be sporting one of his one-arm black tuba grips to commemorate the victory on the next part.
With both arms raised when you instantly.
Dressed in Dior, doing a fashion shoot, yeah. I'm just not going to. And Sam, you've got to wear a gum shield.
I'll wear a gum shield, yeah.
What am I wear then? Have I got to be like a Gary Rowett jacket? Or
something like that? You can wear the jumper.
Jumper, yeah.
So,
Maybe Scott Hogan clap at the end of the.
Some sort of fancy dress celebration pod. if we can keep a big clean sheet against Cardiff.
I like how the fact that if we do that, it's going to have to keep you two very far away from the camera. So it's just like, just so you can see.
Yeah, so we can actually see. No, I'll have to come really close. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You need to be able to see that there's something under my lip.
Oh, Christ.
Almighty. Anyway,
this podcast started out as like a normal chat, and we've gone into just tearing players apart as usual.
I've only really torn one apart, and I think it's fair enough. I think in general, I don't think we've really lambasted the side for the Leicester performance. Don't think it was that bad. I think we showed enough to take the positives into the next game. It's just disappointing, and about the other results, that's the thing that's really hurt us, and that's out of your control, isn't it? So
yeah, I mean, all of it's out of control, isn't it? Because as fans looking in, I think that's just sort of like when the players were like, you know, Ethan Laird was like doing a lot of the sort of the commands of the fans a few weeks ago, but I don't know. It's a weird one for us because we're with them. You know, we definitely are supportive of them, but on the other hand, like, it's an expensive hobby going football every single game. You know, so like, it's a lot of frustration comes out from fans, and I've definitely done that this season, where I've been probably a little bit too critical of players and been a bit frustrated with it. You know, who isn't, you know, because it's just one of those, you know, if you don't win your games and you're in continual downfall and you haven't got much money to play with, really, in terms of going to every game, travel and food and all that stuff that comes with it, then frustration comes out. And when they're giving all the, you know, come on to the fans and everything and trying to get us on side with them, and we're like, well, no, really, because you haven't shown us enough. You haven't been enough on the pitch or anything. So it's a tricky battle between the two sets of fans, between the two sometimes. So it's hard, really. I think we've just got to push over to the end of the season, and we can start from anew in the new season, really. So I think they can do it, and they've got all my support and everything. And I think their recent performances have definitely won me over and thinking, okay, we are still capable of staying in this division, really.
Yeah, we're Birmingham City. We won't fight to the end.
Right, brilliant. You've almost got to the end of the road and then stop.
Maybe added time, and then
and then just.
To be fair, actually, added time is getting more and more nowadays, which I still don't understand why. Because the amount of stoppages yesterday that guaranteed for 5 minutes, I've no idea. Literally, I can't think of any particular moment that where the ball was so out of play. But yeah, it was obviously there wasn't, the goal wasn't in added time, but it was just to pick up on that, because we have conceded goals in added time this season. A fair few, to say the least.
I think somebody did actually put it on Twitter. I don't know who it was or when it was, but it was, I think they put on there, if the game finished in the 80th minute, I think they said we would be 12th instead of 22nd, based on the amount of goals we've conceded, because they've all been, or the majority of them have been, either a goal that stops us winning or the goal that makes us lose. It's never that we're 4-0 down and one of them goes in the 85th minute and we're 5-0 down. It's always a game-changing goal. It's never just an extra. It's always the one that changes the result. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I think in terms of managers as well, like this season, I think Eustace was always getting goals that were, you know, getting in front, and then we couldn't hold on to them. Whereas Rooney was like goals that were like consolation goals, really. Like, and then you see, it's pretty much the same system with Rowett and Mowbray since they've come in. You know, we've had goals and then we threw it away like that. So it's we need to hold on to the victory, and like you said, like finishing 12th, if that was the case, then it just shows why we're in the position we are, because we're not consistent enough. But I mean, we've been like that since all the time we've been in the Championship, pretty much. But yeah, it's one of those stories. We're just gonna have to start again, hopefully next season when we stay up. But yeah, hopefully on Wednesday night we can pull a few strings and get us 3 points that will get us over the line, hopefully at the end of the season. Every result matters towards the end of the season now, and I definitely think we are more than capable of doing this, and it would be a disaster for the club if we got relegated, particularly because of the opposition that are around us as well. No, I don't think they're that bad, but I feel like we should be much higher than where they are at the moment. So it's one of those, but we're going to have to see it out to the end. But yeah, thank you, Sam and John, for coming on. A very good, strong first podcast, Sam. It's been a pleasure to speak to you both tonight.
Cheers, Tommy.
Thank you to everybody in the chat as well for coming in and giving us some feedback and everything. But yeah, thank you for listening, and keep right on.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.